Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Every Sunday on the Independent Film Channel. They're a rock band by night and a kids band by day. It's Z-Rock, an all-new episode.
You're supposed to be our lead singer. Lead us!
I can't lead, morons!
Is there any chance, instead of opening up for Kiss tonight, we're opening up for Mini Kiss?
Z-Rock, the show critics call a grade-A treat, returns.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Don't miss an all-new episode of the IFC original hit comedy, Z-Rock, every Sunday night at 11, 10 Central.
The rock gods are smiling on us.
Only on IFC.
I feel alive!
The best hard rock, the best heavy metal, Talking Metal, a podcast hosted by Mark Striegel and John Astronomy. Available through iTunes and most other podcast providers. Feel the power, feel the glory, TalkingMetal.com.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal podcast. On the show today, my good friend Opus. I've been friends with this guy for a long time, and this is his second appearance on the Talking Metal podcast. I really honestly believe what I say in the interview with Opus, in that this guy was really part of the New England metalcore movement from in its inception, if you will, and one of the guys who really planted the seed. I mean, not... You know, obviously there it was a movement and there were a lot of people involved. But again, I've spoken with the guys in Killswitch Engage, especially Howard, who has confirmed that G-Soul was a big part of, you know, who they were listening to back in the day when they were getting their bands going. A matter of fact, I have a little clip right here. Now, we're going to play it. It's a little messy audio-wise, but... If you listen, you can kind of hear Howard and myself, this is Howard from Killswitch Engage, having a conversation about Opus's old band, Gargantuan Soul.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Check it out.
Thank you, guys.
Cool.
Cool.
You guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Thank
you,
brother.
You guys still have food, right? You guys still eat?
I'm gonna take this for later, man.
I'm legit, yeah.
Afraid to eat too much beforehand.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I do not eat.
How's your cob?
Yeah, I'm trying it now. It's pretty good,
but... Yeah,
there's nothing like when like roasted corn. Yeah,
I can probably
so
get that.
Yeah, very good.
Awesome.
You want to try it?
Oh, no, thanks.
Carne asada thing.
I actually
really
haven't
sweet,
felt
man.
Well all day today. Yeah, I knew those G-Soul guys from way back. And
dude, that's
Opus
so
is a,
funny.
Is a friend of mine. You know, it's interesting.
I'm just going to pretend I'm not looking up.
But even like you guys. Or
you do what you need to do.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like,
please don't hurry.
Actually, I really did like
please
some of their stuff. I'm kind of thinking the whole body paint thing.
Yeah, that'll determine what I do.
It's time for you to drink this beer.
Well, no,
you know, they had a couple of...
I need to determine what time it
is. You know, I think it's cool that you guys...
Oh, yeah, I like that. Actually, I think
no.
I have.
I want
look how delicious
I have
it
some
looks.
Of those,
yeah,
some
no.
Of those
can we do a Taco Bell Toast Rye?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, the Rye was great song.
Oh, my God. Taco Bell Toast Mark.
Let's see, how high? Yeah, I remember those ones.
Very nice.
Cheers.
Very nice.
Cheers, cats.
Thanks. Hey, toasty.
Hey.
I think oh, that's a plastic cup. I'm sorry.
Oh. Summer of My Discontent.
Oh.
I remember that song, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sweet.
Perfect. I'm not
I wonder if I could just put that plate in there.
Yeah, I got to be careful about how much I drink before I go on stage just because of my back. Because I got into this habit when I was in a lot of pain. I would just drink so much just to kind of kill the pain.
Trying to think of his name. One guy went
into my God, yeah. I had two backs.
Yeah, he still is.
Yes, please. Tremendous. Like,
yep, Jason Bosley.
Thank you.
Like,
he was...
Me,
yeah,
being
he's
in
the band. He emails
it. Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind rap.
I emailed him once. He never taken packs.
Well, he probably didn't like it.
You didn't want it.
Good. My problem is that I can't play.
Oh, that's okay.
You know, do a front.
But yeah, nice guy.
I can't play sober.
I
get better.
I just can't play, period.
Opus invited me and my band played in Connecticut at, festival.
Is there any way I can get like ribs for this?
I
mean, I may as well take them.
Adam, I remember when you
got room of service in there when you guys.
I'm sure. Well, there's another one down there.
You know, we just found out about Connecticut.
It doesn't matter.
The tune in just burned.
I mean, if I can get
lit, the day before yesterday. Do you remember that club?
I've never been there, but I remember the name.
Which one? It was in New Haven.
I didn't even touch it.
We played there a few times.
Maybe
I'm throwing it. Yeah, I didn't even physically touch it.
Yeah, sure.
You guys got an extra
two box
down there?
It's on the corner street.
Oh, shit. I'm thinking handle
to-go boxes
yeah.
there.
Oh, oh, yeah.
All I can think of in Connecticut is
we may have
the Sports
after.
Palace.
Nice. Oh.
Thanks, brother.
Hanover House.
Thanks,
and the L&G.
We never played there because actually the funny thing was the last Overcast show was the last hardcore show ever there.
Really?
Because dudes stalked the owner and beat him up so badly that he said he would never have another hardcore show.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah,
they followed him down an alley and beat him up with a sock full of nickels
or
something.
Yeah, he got punished.
Jeez.
But he deserved it.
Sock full of nickels.
The tune in New Haven.
Didn't I describe JFO as fart as that
one? That guy deserved it.
I said, your wife. Fart is like a dagger, whereas his fart is like a sock full of nickels.
He was definitely the name of the club he played in New Haven.
That was the clip there, and you could kind of hear us talking about Gargantuan Soul, G-Soul, as they were known, Opus's old band, and Howard even has some of their music on his iPod. You could hear him mention there. What happened with Killswitch is when we showed up for the interview in Long Beach, California, before the camera started rolling, I started talking to Howard a little bit about, you know, where they're from, and then I told him I knew Opus, formerly of G-Soul, and he immediately knew who that was and was excited, and we kind of chatted about G-Soul. And then after we were kind of wrapping up the interview, if you saw the interview on Fuse, the little bits of it that they used, we were having Mexican food at this Mexican restaurant in Long Beach before Killswitch played their show out there. And as the interview was wrapping up, with the cameras still rolling, Howard and I started talking about Gargantuan Soul and Opus again, and that's what you hear there. Now, the thing is, I personally don't have splits, so when I say splits, I mean audio splits of this, which is why it is such a mess. If I had the splits, I would have been able to isolate things, and you would have just heard Howard and I talking about it since we were all mic'd separately, but I didn't have that, which is why it's a little messy there, but you get the drift. Gargantuan Soul, Opus's old band, was very influential on the New England metal core movement, if you will. But we're going to talk about his new band, Dead by Wednesday, in today's interview, as well as his old band. And Dead by Wednesday is rocking. We're going to end today's show with some of their new music. And what else? Let's right now, how about get into a little Gargantuan Soul. And before we do that, just a reminder, go to talkingmetal.com. Do me a favor, go up to that Z-Rock Z02 IFC link, click through it. They're tracking how many visitors we bring the IFC site, and it would be great if you guys could do that for me as a personal favor. I know you hate it when I go into this type of stuff about, you know, plugging our sponsors and stuff, but sorry, it's just part of Talking Metal, which you've probably realized already at this point. Anyways, let's get into some Gargantuan Soul right now on Talking Metal, then into the interview John and I conducted with Opus, ending today's show with some Dead by Wednesday. We will have Opus's band linked, Dead by Wednesday, that is, through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com. So check that out. We'll be right back. I can tell some stories, but I'm not going to do it.
What a great intro. What a great intro. I'm so proud to be here right now.
Yeah. Opus, thanks for joining us.
You kidding me?
And we are psyched to have you here. We had you call in once, but there's nothing like having you here in person. So
It's okay.
And that was a great interview when you called in, man. It was a blast hearing some of the stories and, you know, very passionate stuff.
I got a lot of stories for you today. I got a story for you about me coming here. I lost $80 from a guy who drove me in the back of this, like, bike little carriage thing.
Oh, right.
He robbed me, man.
So what actually happened?
It's insane.
I put $40. The guy goes, okay, I'm like, I'm in New York. I don't want to, it's like traffic time. I don't want to spend a lot of money on taxis. I'm just going to pick this guy right here has a bike with a carriage in the back of it. I'm going to get a nice friendly ride in the sun and roll up a doobie on the way to the show. So I'm like, hey, what? How much does it cost to go to this place here? And I show him the address and everything. He's like, I'll do it for $50. I said, what? $50? I took a night off from my open mic work to come because I wanted to be here in person. So I'm like, I want to spend a little money. So I gave him, I'm like, all right, $40. And I'll do it. And he said, okay, no problem. So I put $40 in my sweatband just to make sure that I had it ready to go. He drove me to where I had to be. And somehow between, I don't know how he did it, between, and I know I didn't lose it, between the stop and where I had to go, he somehow took my money out of my sweatband. He pickpocketed me.
That is insane.
It was amazing.
I'm sorry he technically pick-banded you.
It was amazing. He said it was from Morocco. I have no idea how he did it, but he did it.
Where did you get it? Where did you get in the carriage?
Grand Central. I got in the carriage, and they call it the petty car. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I've seen those things.
Yeah, and I was like,
they were cheaper than cabs.
I was excited. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be relaxed. I'm going to be in the back of this thing. I'm going to go to, you know, take a nice ride. And somehow he stole my money.
I am so sorry, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, man.
Oh, it's all right.
Effed up thing, man.
And I took the night off of work to come. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, so this this appearance is actually costing
$200.
You.
$200.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't forget to eat pizza, and there's a refrigerator there, whatever you need, man.
No,
just make the most of it.
Money's nothing. Comes in and comes
out.
Take
the refrigerator.
Take the refrigerator.
If you see some gear, you know, just grab it. You know, whatever you need.
It's like food and poop. It comes in and comes out, whatever.
I hear you. Opus, you have such an amazing history going all the way back to G-Soul, but we want to start off talking about the stuff that's happening now. Dead by Wednesday, the new album is out. How long has that been out now?
It's been out. It came out in, I want to say, October of 2008, and we got picked up by a label called Eclipse Records, which is run by Chris Poland. They also broke bands like Mushroomhead and Bobo Flex and Scum of the Earth. Some of them are, you know,
Chris Poland's been here before.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, he mentioned that he was here with Riggs from right. Scum of the Earth. And so, you know, they had a great record. He's a really honest guy. And he came to us. We had a few other people that were opting for it. We talked to Megaforce. We talked to Suburban Noise. They loved the album, but they weren't sure about the money aspect of it and all the BS, the business aspect of it. And Chris came to us with a really good offer. And I known him from the past, from Gargantua Soul days. He actually offered a deal back then, and in hindsight, we should have taken it. But so I just said it's better than nowadays with all this, the way the whole music business is and how it's, I don't want to say nicely, failing almost.
Right.
The industry.
Sadly, yeah.
To have someone actually offer to help you and promote your music. And even though, you know, it wasn't like this $2 million deal, we said, I felt, and my bass player felt, and all of us as a band felt that it was a good way to get the music out and just get people to hear what we're about and just, you know, be a band, you know, and that's really what it's all about, isn't it, in the end, is being
correct.
Happy and playing music, really, you know, so that's how it came about pretty much.
Cool.
And it's not the same Chris Poland who used to play guitar in Megadeth. Different guy.
You know, people always ask me that, and I tell them that I never asked the guy if it was. If you know, tell me, because I don't want to. I'm not going to ask.
Right.
Him,
no, it is a different Chris Poland.
You know what I mean? So
classic.
So let's talk about the lineup for Dead by Wednesday. Now there is an actual G-Soul connection there, isn't there? Besides you.
There was. Pat Garcia was the original guitar player for Gargantua Soul. He started Dead by Wednesday with me.
But he's replaced by Ross now?
What happened was he and then literally married a groupie and had a kid.
Oh, okay.
So right when, oh, I hate to say it out loud, I was not listening, right. But right when things started getting good and we're torn a lot, I think she clamped down. I was like, you ain't going nowhere, boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just kind of made him.
Ah, man.
Yeah. But hey, whatever. He's happy. As long as he's happy, he's got, he got two little kids that he, you know, he loves now. And
still on good terms with you and stuff.
Oh, we honestly, like, this band, this is really weird about this band. I mean, I could talk a lot about G-Soul. G-Soul were great guys. I love all those guys. But there's a lot of, like, when you're at so close to scratching the surface of, like, success and you're almost making it, you probably know, too, in a lot of different ways, especially with a TV show and all stuff, a lot of BS and a lot of red tape and politics come flying your way. And then all of a sudden you find out the true colors of every person and what they're about and who they are. And, you know, when you start talking about money and so on and so forth. And it just basically the industry ripped us from the inside out. I say that because it's like, all right, if you do this, if you don't do this, if you do this, we'll sign you, or we'll give you this amount of money. And then you start second guessing yourself, and you start wondering, okay, well, maybe I should do this and I'll be huge and famous. So let's do it this way. And then you start losing the focus of what made you big in the first place and staying true to what you were and your roots and everything. So it was a really tough situation. But Dead by Wednesday, like you said, to get back to the focused question here, the roots are the original guitar player, Pat Garcia, started the band with me, and then he left. And now Ross Ragusa, who played in a Metallica tribute band called Alcoholica with me, took over as the one guitar player. And now it's basically set up like a real rock band, where it's one guitar player, one bass player, drums, and two vocalists that don't play an instrument.
Well, wow, that's cool. Two vocalists.
Yeah, but the core of the band is like a Pantera or a Van Halen style, where when the guitar player is rocking out, the bass player, who's badass, holds it down.
Holding it down. He's holding it with me. Like you guys, right?
And I honestly wouldn't do it with anyone else. Like, how I feel about the band right now is if one of those guys, either the guitar player or the bass player, and the singer is, you know, one of them is my cousin, but, you know, nowadays with the metal, like, screaming and stuff, not to say that they don't do it well, and plus we do different stuff with the other vocalist. He does a different style. But he, like, without either guitar player or bass player, I would either change the name of the band or just not do it anymore, because that's how strongly I feel about the guys I play with.
That's really good, though, that you found two guys that you feel that strongly about, because that's one of the hardest things now is to find people. And plus, like you said about, like, what happened with G-Soul is, bands start to get some success, and then unfortunately people's personalities change. And then what is even worse, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, is that when you get some success, then other friends, you have problems with them because of that. And it's really hard. But you wind up losing friends that you normally wouldn't have lost had you not succeeded in some way, you know?
Yeah, losing friends and gaining new ones that aren't really your friends.
Right.
I mean, like, I say this to this day, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, and where our band, Dead by Wednesday, stems from is Connecticut. Connecticut is based off of, and Mark knows, a lot of hardcore. Like, hardcore is huge, basically stems from the area, and originally New York, obviously. But I mean, with the whole movement of Hatebreed and a lot of the bands that came from New Haven, hardcore is big, and they had this whole brotherhood, you know, type of idea behind it. But I mean, personally, I feel like it's getting lost, because what punk and hardcore and metal, you know, really came from the beginning, came the whole idea upon, was like the underground and you know, not trendy stuff. And now it seems like not kids necessarily, but the people that classify themselves as like hardcore, they only go out to the trendy shows, the big shows. Like when Hatebreed plays, they come out. And not to say they don't come out to see me. I'm not like crying about that. People come to see our band. I'm saying for other bands, I see it with hardcore bands. Like, no, there's no support. There's no like brotherhood. There's no representing anymore. It's very, only like almost like now they're just going to trendy shows. So they, everything is based upon is gone.
I totally understand what you're saying, because what started the hardcore movement was the brotherhood, the underground scene. And for it's almost like not the bands, like because, you know, Hatebreed is a great band, but the fans that are showing up at these trendy shows are like fake hardcore fans, in my opinion.
Right, they're like I just went to one recently, and it was like, it just seemed like it was people that like, I don't want to say me heads, because I don't want to, like, tell people, like, I mean, I love everyone, don't get me wrong, I'm a nice guy, but, like, they're just, like, going in there and just trying to beat people up in the pit or something, and they're not really there for the music, and they're drunk off their ass, and, you know, I drink myself, but, you know, be able to hold on to what, you know, be there for the music and not just, you know, like this, like, mentality of, like, I'm just going to go there and beat the hell out of people and kick people in the face. And that's what I'm calling, you know, that's my night. I'm having fun. Cool. You know, it's like,
well,
I don't know.
Well, we're going to get back to Dead by Wednesday and play some music off the Killing Project, which is the latest record, in a bit. But I want to go back a ways, maybe 12 years ago.
Whoa.
In the New England, Connecticut area, at that time, what bands, or band, should I say, was taking heavy metal big courses along with, like, hardcore verses and kind of mixing them together? Can you name maybe one band that was doing that back in that day?
Are you talking before G-Soul?
No, I'm talking about G-Soul.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, to me, you guys were like the first band doing that. I mean,
well, kinda,
I mean,
yeah.
And now it's you look at all these, I mean, Killswitch Engage, Shadows Fall, all these bands, every time I would
Five
hear
Finger,
these guys,
Death Punch.
Yeah, I would think, wow, this is definitely coming from that seed that you planted.
I really, really appreciate you
back
saying that.
In that time frame. And, you know, as a friend and a fan of what you've done, a lot of times it is kind of a bummer that we don't hear a lot of these guys in public actually, you know, mention that in a way you guys, you know, even though you never got nearly as successful as Killswitch or Shadows Fall, you guys definitely opened the door and planted the seed for a lot of these bands.
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you so much for even mentioning that.
No, I'm not just kissing ass.
No,
either.
You're not. I know you're not. You're my friend.
That. Yeah, but, no, I sincerely believe that.
But I sincerely, like, almost can't take that. I feel like I'm almost not embarrassed, but, like, I'm just, like, very, like, I'm amazed by you saying that. You know, Howard was a fan of G-Soul.
Yeah, and I asked him that, and he, you know, he spoke about you guys. And
that's it would be great if more people would. Like, for example, Josta.
Right.
I mean, not for nothing. I mean, he was, when, you know, he was doing great for himself, but when we were on Farm Club, USA Network, mm-hmm. I was wearing a Hatebreed jacket. No one knew who the hell Hatebreed was.
Right.
I was sitting in Universal Records with Avery Littman and Sinji, the top A&R guy and the head of the label, talking about G-Soul, and they turn and ask me, hey, what do you think about that band Hatebreed?
Right.
You know, in hindsight, I should have said, they suck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I was, like, raved about them. Because honestly, one of my favorite albums is Satisfaction is a Death of Desire, which is their not first album, because they had, you know, Under the Knife and EPs and tapes before that. But the first album on Victory Records from Hatebreed, which is a Connecticut-based band also, was that album. And that's one of my favorite albums, along with, like, Master of Puppets and, you know, like, Diary of a Madman. So, I mean, I'm not kissing his butt either. It's just,
right.
That's just the album. Like, after that, personally, I'm not really a big fan of the other albums.
Mm-hmm.
That one album for me, you know, did it for me. So I was wearing the jacket on the TV, and I was representing. I gave, you know, Sinji thumbs up. I'm like, hell yeah, you know, the band kicks butt. Jamie works hard. You know, who knows? I might have been, like, that extra push to push it over,
sure.
Push the deal over the top. But at the same time, I'm not sore about it. I mean, hey, times were changing. Music changes. We were a rap rock band.
Right.
Rap rock was going out. You know, we even though we had the choruses and the hardcore verses, we also incorporated rap, and we did a lot of like the song Drive and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the hardcore movement was coming reemerging. So it was just timing, and, you know, who knows? I don't care. I'm happy with what I'm doing now, and that's why I created Dead by Wednesday. It's more of a middle finger to the entire industry. When it started, it was rap metal.
Yeah.
Like taking thrash metal and throwing two MCs in there and screaming. And saying, let's do something different that no one's ever heard, and not care about what people think in the industry, because that's where the whole idea, democracy is dead. It wasn't a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, democracy amongst all of us is gone, and this is my focus, this is my idea. And then my cousin, being the vocalist, the singer, who's actually a very intellectual, straight-edge type of kid, took it and started talking about, you know, at the time Bush was in power, and you started talking about all that stuff.
Right.
So that's pretty much how, you know, he turned it into that idea, and that's it. From there, the band's kind of, you know, developed and turned into what it is now.
That was actually one of my questions. Is Dead by Wednesday still able to get as angry as they did when Bush was president?
Well, I mean, it's more so not angry at the government, but just, I mean, I think a lot more people are walking around every day angry and pissed off,
right?
Because they don't have their jobs. People are broke and they don't have any money. They can't go out and have fun. You know, it's like The Shining. After, if you're just in a house, you know, working and not doing anything else and not making any money, you're going to kill people. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, all work, no play makes whoever a pissed off boy. You know,
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, I think a lot of people are just pissed in general with the way the economy is and the way the whole system is running. So, I mean, yeah, we're still pissed and we're, you know, I'm pissed. I'm always pissed.
Right.
Good. Hey, I got a question. I know we're going to get into some music, but before we do, where do bands play now? Like, where can I see good shows in the New York, New England area?
Good question.
Yeah, it's really hard. That's why I'm asking you. Like,
well, the one place that I always love, and they should pay me for saying this right now, is in my hometown, Toad's Place.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
They say where the legends play, but it's true. The Rolling Stones play there. They have a list of bands, everyone from like Fishbone to like, you know, Korn to.
I have a videotape of Paul Stanley solo tour from Toad's Place.
And yep.
That's in New Haven, right?
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. I mean, you name it. G-Soul. Dead by Wednesday's playing there in 2 weeks. We're actually playing June 12th.
Very cool.
You know, I don't know if even saying it matters. Oh, actually, it is live, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, and
no
you
doubt.
Have the Opus.
That's June 12th at Toad's Place.
Right, Bud Friendly.
Bud Friendly was getting Bud Friendly with me in the bathroom earlier.
Oh, no.
Just so you know. Just so you know. That's why the interview started rough in the beginning.
Opus Palooza. Where'd you come up with that name?
Well, I mean, I do the birthday bash every year, and it's really, really successful. I mean, cool. It's ridiculous. It's become this, like, thing. And Toads actually called me and said, hey, you want to do a date, you know, when school lets out? And during summertime, we need the help with the extra, you know, with that, we have a Friday night open. So, you know, I figured I would throw a bill together and get all, unlike a lot of people, get all local bands that, you know, been asking me to play and not bugging me, but pretty much like, you know, I want to take care of everybody in one shot. So I put together this big fest. I got clowns booked. I got small people coming and they're getting suspended by hooks.
Yo.
During a band called Nassau Chainsaw from Brooklyn. They're playing and a bunch of bands are coming and we're going to have like a makeshift Lollapalooza, but under my name, Opus Palooza.
Cool.
And just
with like flesh hooks through their skin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, wow. We suspend. The improper word is midgets, but we suspend midgets and we have clowns and then we have the, you know, all the bands playing and we have a Rage Against the Machine tribute band.
Cool.
They're really good from Massachusetts and it's going to be a really good night and Dead by Wednesday's playing.
Excellent.
And yeah. So,
you know what the cool thing about Connecticut is you got New Yorkers can come up there and you got people from Mass that can come down and it's really neat. I kind of wish I lived in Connecticut as opposed to where I live currently. But.
Cool. Well, listen, let's get into a little music.
I know, you're right.
It's the easy,
that's the easy way out of that situation.
We're going to hit the title track off of the Dead by Wednesday record, The Killing Project, and then we're going to come back, and if you don't mind hanging out, Opus, we'd
love
to come
out.
Back and talk some metal with you.
Let's keep talking.
Cool. Let's
check it out. I can talk.
We'll be back in about 3 minutes. This is The Killing Project by Dead by Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we're back on Talking Metal Live with your hosts, Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for listening and tuning in to Talking Metal Live. We are here with our good friend Opus from Dead by Wednesday, and we just got some cool VIP
passes. Is that
passes.
A Coke Zero in a wine glass?
No. There's a Coke Zero next to a wine glass. That is actually a Spaten beer in a wine glass. So
nice stuff. Yeah. But we're going to talk some metal with Opus, who is here from Connecticut, hanging out in Times Square, New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So what's happening up there? You guys, let's get back to Dead by Wednesday. You guys are staying busy. A lot of high-profile stuff going on. Korn, you guys opened for recently, right?
Yep. We just did a show in New Hampshire at the Meadowbrook Pavilion Center with Korn. Burn Halo dropped off the show, but we ended up pretty much headlining the second stage. Along with some pretty good bands. Diecast played. They were awesome. And some other Mark's band played Fear the State.
Oh, okay.
And it was funny because G-Soul used to do really good out in New Hampshire, so both of us always get asked to do stuff whenever things come up, which is really cool, you know, still have that kind of, you know, stuff, that momentum going on. But
And how is Mark?
Mark's doing good, man.
Have a kid or something? Or?
He had a kid. He has a little recording studio where we actually just shot the video at RVP Studios, and he's staying busy with his band. You know, they just released an album. They're doing it independent style. You know, right. What I mean, they want to do it that way, which is cool. Everyone's staying busy from the old band. You know, Chris is playing. Chris Keys.
What's
singer.
He up to?
He's doing something. Oh God, what the hell's the name of the band? He's going to kill me. Oh, crap. I don't know the name of the band. I know it was called Saving Echo, right. But it's something else now. Anyway.
Sure we could find out with a quick Google.
But, the Korn show was amazing. I got to be honest with you. We chose to play the second stage. We had offered the main stage, but the main stage was this big pavilion. And if we played in the main stage, it would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where most people don't even come to those type of shows till 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And the way the band is, as far as Dead by Wednesday, the way our style is now, we kind of traded in our main stage slot for the 6:30 or 7 o'clock slot. It was 7:30, I think, on the second stage. And it's a tent near the beer tent. And it's with the people.
People were going crazy over there, right?
Yeah, it was with the people. And no BS, as soon as we hit our first note, I saw shoes flying in the air, CD promo CDs that we were throwing out, all this dust, and it was like, you know, old chicken fight. It was hilarious. It was pretty violent, though. It got crazy.
Wow.
And but we ended up selling, you know, tons of merch that day. It was really successful for us, and it got the word out to, like, the whole Northeast, because people came from all over for a show like that. Big, you know, it's a 7,000 capacity venue. I think we played to, like, you know, there was like maybe 3,500 people in the area when we were performing, which was really,
that's great,
pretty dope, you know. So yeah, that's pretty cool. But it's one show. You come back the next day and you're in your apartment going, okay, what do I do now?
Right. Yeah.
What do I do now? Okay, just put on a porno and jerk off.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's what Johnny O is doing right now.
That's why I'm not talking much right now. I'm doing that. Hey, what's the radio station in New Haven? Because I think I've been up there.
In New Haven is 99 Rock WPLR.
Okay. I've been to their studio, I think, once.
Yeah. I performed a couple times up there in, like, early 90s.
Right. They do, like, acoustic stuff?
Yeah. Now they stopped doing it, though.
Oh, wow.
Like every other radio station, they got gay.
Jeez. How about the New Haven Civic Center? Is that still there?
Nope. They knocked it down and put a big parking lot there.
I cannot believe it.
But I got to play there once. That was my
that
dream.
That is killer. Wow.
That was my dream before I knocked it down. I opened for Rage Against the Machine, man.
That is great. With
G-Soul.
Man, G-Soul. Yep. Wow, very cool.
That was crazy. The lights were still on. People were coming in the door, and we were rocking out to like a half-packed
Coliseum.
Hey,
but just the fact that you're playing an arena in your hometown, I mean, that's
sick.
Like, my dream is to play the Civic Arena, which actually is where the Pittsburgh Penguins are playing the Detroit Red Wings right now, the Stanley Cup Finals. It's 2-2, and I hope the Penguins pull this one out, so they better.
I want to see some fights.
That's my favorite arena, guys. I've seen Kiss, and I've seen so many great bands at that arena.
Cool.
Kiss, we love Kiss. We had a long conversation about Kiss earlier.
That's one of the things me and Mark, like, when we first met, like, kind of connected on was Kiss.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, because the G-Soul band was very, like, that theatrical.
Theatrical?
Yeah.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. Yeah, I remember seeing G-Soul so many clubs.
I remember G-Soul Mark telling me about G-Soul back in the day.
Yeah, not only in New York City, but, of course, up in Connecticut and even Las Vegas. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what were you doing out there when they were playing?
Yeah, my friend Derek Sivers had flown me out there.
CD Baby.
Yeah,
right.
I actually worked for CD Baby for like 6 days. I was freelance, you know, in New York City, so I could take off work easy. He flew me out there and put me up. Didn't pay me anything, but I got to run around and party with guys like Opus, so it was all worth it. But,
that's great.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, he put me up out there, and I worked the CD Baby table at
cool.
Eat'em.
And Kissing Eat'em. Booth.
It was called.
Eat'em Festival,
and the Kissing Booth.
Yeah.
Was
and,
that the time you saw Amen?
Yeah, I saw Amen out there. G-Soul, of course. I remember the club you guys played. It was across the street from the Rio.
Pinkies.
Pinkies. You got a good memory, man.
Hell yeah. Well, it's a short-term memory loss, but certain things stick with me, man.
Yeah. Pinkies. Yeah, that was a great show, and it was a lot of fun out there. But
a lot of pool tables.
That's right. How did you guys? How did you guys back in that day, and even today with Dead by Wednesday? Because you guys play, you know, in a lot of different places. How do you? With being on a smaller budget, how do you make it to places like Las Vegas and do a show there? I mean, because obviously you aren't
a hope and a prayer.
Yeah,
no. I mean, honestly, it's like you have to plan a way ahead as far as like either sponsors or you know, use some of the money you made from merch or other shows and save up for it and use it almost like to promo yourself.
Right.
Use the money you made from shows to promo yourself. Or, you know, you hustle. You know, you go on the street, you sell some crack, whatever you got to do, man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So would you say
some hoes, you know, whatever.
Most of the money that you make doing this type of stuff ends up going back into the band?
I don't know where it goes, honestly. I mean, like, a lot of money comes in. A lot of money goes out, and mostly goes out. Yeah. You know what
do
I mean?
You guys have to have like business managers in there handling that stuff.
We probably should.
Right.
You know, right now you're looking at them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're looking at the business.
You know? So
that's how everybody's doing it now. I mean, like, you know, most bands don't even have like labels, even big major groups.
That's
like,
why
like
I said
Kiss,
I feel very I feel very blessed and lucky that I have someone who is somewhat organized and honest. And you know, has a good personality and has a good, you know, karma around him. Chris is a Poland from Eclipse is a great guy,
right?
And so you know, I almost like the fact that he's too honest. Like, he'll go over something, he'll mull over something like 10 times if he doesn't feel that it's right for us or for him or something. And, you know, sometimes it could be a little overboard, like a little OCD or ADD or whatever. But I think it's a good thing to have any kind of help nowadays, and any kind of someone who wants to invest or promote or advertise you or your music, you have to feel lucky, you know, because it's hard.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, to find somebody who's going to get behind you and work hard for you is a tough thing, and you sounds like you got a good guy. Now, me being a drummer, Opus, I want to talk some drums
sure.
with you.
Sure, love drums.
What do you play? What kind of kit?
Well, first of all, I would bang my drums if I could.
Very cool.
But I can't, so we'll leave that alone. But I right now I play an RCI, a Romano Cattano International acrylic black and white spiral John Bonham style drum
wow.
set.
Wow, like a almost like a Ludwig Vistalite kind
yes.
of a thing.
Yeah,
very cool.
I had a Ludwig Vistalite, original 1970s blue, 8-piece, you
cool.
know, crazy John Bonham style drum set. But I had to unfortunately sell it, you know, just so I can I move in, and I was moving, and there's just so much. I had so much stuff, and
right.
And just money wise, and just everything in general. I just kind of felt like I needed to, or I was cleaning up the attic.
But you so, play with that Bonham setup with like the big bass drum, one floor tom, one
just
rack
4-piece
tom.
Man.
Yeah, that's
4
killer.
Piece. Just and I play thrash metal on it. You
that
know?
Is really good.
I mean, I love big kits, but I learned from playing all the time and not having techs or roadies
right.
that it really sucks to move around like
some
yeah.
20-piece kit with like
yeah,
eight
and you
rack
don't need,
toms.
And
right.
honestly, like
yeah, you really don't need it.
You don't need it. You should be able to play all that stuff on
a
4 two drums.
Right.
And if you can't, don't waste my time. You know,
right.
don't even bother.
Right.
Honestly.
Like the more drums aren't going to make like a bad drummer better. You
I
know?
Saw. I have a funny story. I went to go see this. I forgot what the name of the band it was. Even if I knew, I wouldn't say it. But
yeah.
I saw this punk rock band. It was hilarious. He literally had like 12 toms, 2 bass drums, you know, all this stuff, like a million cymbals. He literally played a punk beat the entire time. I think it was like a joke. He would
yeah.
play the ride cymbal, the snare, and the bass drum, not even use his left leg on the hi-hat, and he would just go, never did a roll, never even hit a cymbal. And he had no
and he's whole... got, like, some giant, like, Eric Carr kit.
Yeah, my friend was doing sound. He's like, you got to be kidding me. He's laughing.
Like, I just mic'd all this stuff
yeah.
for nothing, right?
He's laughing his ass off, and there's no holes in the front bass drum, either bass drum heads, either. You got this huge kit. You got no holes for the microphones. Nothing.
Oh, that's classic.
And it was so funny, and I'm not even exaggerating. It was hilarious. But, yeah, he's a 4-piece. I started off on a bigger kit. I'm a fan of, you know, like a lot of that stuff with big, you know, big toms and like the Slayer stuff and everything. I love, like, you know, I love that kind of stuff. But I learned how to basically scale it down for with G-Soul. There's a lot of people on stage, a lot of different instruments, percussion, keyboard, all this stuff. And you kind of want to scale it down. And then I just kind of less is more almost. Like when I started playing that way, I realized that it always made me a better drummer to take away all that stuff, strip it down, and just have the core of what the drums are and to be able to do all that stuff with it. And now I almost taught myself so much in that style, that vein, that I can't, if I go on a big kit, I feel like lost. I'm like, what do I do with this? Ding, like the Wayne's World, like ding,
right.
you know, like little cymbal. But yeah, I also have a Pork Pie jazz style small Katina kit, which is like 18-inch bass drum,
wow.
10-inch snare, 12, you know, 12-inch tom, 14-inch floor. I use that for like a lot of the open mics and the Sabbath stuff. And then I don't use the acrylic for recording because I think they're better a lot. They're a better live drum set,
right.
more reverb. Like you could play a club with hardly have any.
They
mics.
Have like two heads on it, right? Though top
yeah,
and bottom heads,
top and bottom. But you could play the acrylic stuff with no mics, and it cuts through with the band almost.
Very cool.
But with recording, I like to use wood stuff, so I use like high-end Tamas for recording because they just really sound great. You know, the wood is just on the mic, it sounds awesome, you know.
Very cool.
We're down to our final 10 minutes of the show here, but there's two things I want to cover. Opus, your story I really do think is something special, and I know you've shot some footage, and there could potentially, if you got the right people behind you, be a story there for maybe television or something. Is this something you're striving for? What are your thoughts on maybe turning your story into a reality TV show?
I mean, I would love to do something like that. I've been dabbling in that type of stuff, you know, since forever. I mean, it started with, you know, the VH1 original movie that we were in
right.
with Gene Simmons. Then it was the Farm Club. Then it ended up you know, getting that Shipmates reality dating show thing happening.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And, you know, they wanted to bring me back on the show, but the girl refused because it was such a debacle.
Right.
It was hilarious. And then I ended up, you know, getting minor roles here and there on in stuff, like just recently Cash Cab and the Rachel Ray show.
Really? Yeah, what were you doing on that?
Talking about the birds and the bees and who taught me my, like, you know, like the how to the whole sex thing. And
Okay.
It was, you know, so I always dabbled in that kind of stuff, and I never really tried. I just happened. So if anything ever came around, like any kind of opportunity came around where they want to make a story about, you know, someone like a musician scratching the surface, or like, you know, someone that was so close to, you know, whatever mega stardom or however you want to call it, I have a hard time talking about stuff because I am, you know, somewhat of a subdued person when it comes to myself,
right?
Like how I look at myself, like I am, you know, some, you know, in public, like outrageous, and I could be crazy and kooky and everything. But reality is that, like, I don't look at myself as a rock and roll star. I don't look at myself as like someone who could be something like that. But other people tell me, you know, like you, I mean, that I was embarrassed earlier when you said that to me. I appreciate it so much, but it's, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. No, I understand.
But I mean, I would do it in a heartbeat because I would love to have a camera on me all the time and people know who I am and stuff. It's a weird lifestyle because, you know, you walk the streets, and even to this day, like the other day, it was hilarious. I had a guy, I was walking in the supermarket and a guy yelled G Soul at me.
Really? Wow.
He yelled it at
wow.
me.
Yeah.
Yelled, and I said to him, I said, dude, I'm in a new band. I'm like Dead by Wednesday. He got pissed and he goes, no, G Soul for life, dude. Literally.
It's like he's so into it. Like,
literally, dude.
Amazing.
And I was just like, what? So it's a different, you know, different generation.
Yeah.
We play a lot of young, you know, youth
right.
orientated, no, like young, you know.
Cool. But, and one topic, not necessarily Opus related, but we can get his take on this.
Black Sabbath.
That we promised our listeners that we'd talk about.
Yes.
Is it was announced this week that Ozzy Osbourne and his camp, if you will, has decided to sue Tony Iommi over ownership, if you will,
of
the name Black Sabbath. And basically, Ozzy is asking for 50% ownership. I guess it's currently 100% to Tony owns it.
Right.
And Ozzy's camp issued a release saying basically that the name has been what did he say? Dragged through the mud.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that.
Diminished to, in the mid 90s, it was diminished to
like
to
a laughing stock status. Club stuff and—
yeah. So do you believe that Ozzy Osbourne is entitled to 50% of the Black Sabbath name, even though he was in the band for less than 50% of his existence?
That's a hard question, man.
Yeah.
That's a really hard question because I look at it as honestly 50-50, not 50-50 that it's his, 50-50 that 50-50 yes for a lot of reasons and 50-50 no for a lot of reasons. And yes, because Ozzy was there from the beginning to kind of like when you go through the trudge, you know, the mud and
right.
you're in the van and you're, you know, he
paid the dues.
Yes, exactly.
Right, yeah.
And without Ozzy, would there be a Sabbath? Yeah, I mean,
right.
you know, there would be, but it might not be the same thing as it is now. He paved the way for Dio and Ian Gillan and whatever, the whole...
All the other guys,
yeah.
right.
Now, so that's one aspect. And the other aspect is, I mean, legally, if Tony owns the name, he owns the name.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no ifs, ands,
or buts.
Because
Tony was the guy that kept Sabbath going when all these other people were not in the band.
And
so that's that argument, right?
And then also on the other side of, you know, no comment... I know John Fenton, who is like pretty much runs the booking for all Ozfest. So for me to say anything positive or negative would be very
sure.
Very
right,
bad.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to.
Well, how about a band like Guns N' Roses, where you have really basically one guy who's kind of taken over the name?
That's a
if
joke.
You will, and
to me,
yeah,
that's a joke.
Right.
I mean, it's just Axl. If it was Axl and a couple other guys, maybe you could get away with it.
Yeah.
But it's,
well, Dizzy Reed.
Dizzy in it? I don't
know.
He is,
but of course he wasn't part of Appetite for Destruction.
Well, what about even Kiss?
So that doesn't make any sense.
Same thing. I mean, you got two of the four. And then with Kiss, it's even weirder because you got other guys portraying the characters of other guys.
Yeah. I cannot stand to this day that he has... They have, Paul and Gene have Eric and Tommy Thayer. Nothing against them personally, but they have them in Peter's makeup. Yeah. And Ace's makeup.
Well,
right.
Soon there's going to be just like me and you in their makeup.
Yeah, like four different guys doing it.
Hey, I'm ready.
Robots, kiss bots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Kiss members will be in Kiss costumes.
Well, you know what's funny? They just came out with these costumes that are official Kiss costumes that look like real Kiss costumes. And you can buy now an Ace Frehley Alive One costume for like $300. And it's so funny because now...
Adults buy these?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For swingers parties.
Scary adults buy them. And so, like, now everything, like, there's nothing that spectacular anymore when you can just be any dude off the street, you can buy the costume, put on the makeup, and you're close to being in the band almost.
I saw a guy walking down the street with a Superman costume earlier today, so, I mean, you know.
Right,
straight in New York. I mean, wasn't even look like he was doing anything. He was like he was just hanging out with a Superman costume. Yeah,
he was on break.
One of my favorite New York stories is I saw a man in the middle of the winter, very cold out, walking down First Avenue back when I lived on Tudor City over there, nude. Just
no,
yeah,
completely. I cannot believe
completely.
It.
He was
and not arrested.
He was about a 6'6" black man.
Oh my god!
obviously a little confused, and wow. It was like probably 20 degrees out, and he was walking down First Avenue.
We're streaking.
Nude. Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. You know,
it wasn't like running for the effect. It was just
In this poor man's defense, it was right in front of the. There's like a mental hospital down there on First Avenue.
United Nations.
No. south of that. Down.
That should be a mental hospital.
I thought you were going to say, in this poor man's defense, it was very cold out.
No. Right.
Well, that too. But I sense that he had wandered outside
the
facility.
Mental hospital. Yeah, unbelievable.
And, but it caused
Where
quite an
inside,
uproar.
He's free to roam.
He was a little
probably,
nutty.
Yeah.
He was a little nutty.
Yeah, it was a
that
little
is
nutty.
Out of control. I've never seen anything that wacky. Yeah. I've seen the naked cowboy.
He was outside the mental hospital, and you said to him, "I can clearly see your nuts."
Yeah, there you go.
That's great.
That's
the east side of Manhattan.
So, Opus, to carry us out of the show today, we played the title track off of the Killing Project. What other track can we feature for the Talking Metal listeners today?
Well, there's you want to hear metal, obviously. So Declaration of Inhumanity's out. That's more of like a police-style track.
Cool.
Stuart Copeland's the man.
Right.
Just to throw that in there anyway. But I would say probably the song Pawns, which we just shot a video for with David Brodsky.
From Mike. He just shot Warbringer's video, who we had on earlier.
Yeah, Warbringer. He did Suffocation. Right.
Did he do Black Dahlia?
We went over this earlier. You must have been on vacation.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, in 2008, he won a Grammy nomination for Everything Went Black from Black Dahlia.
Okay, right.
And we just shot with him over the weekend, and the video is going to be dope. This was the first song of the album. It's called Pawns, and it's on The Killing Project, which is available out online and in stores, FYE, EclipseRecords.com. Our website is just Dead by Wednesday, all one word, deadbywednesday.com, or you can go to our gay space. .com/ Dead by Wednesday. You know, all the above. Just please come and say hello. I answer everyone myself. There's no robot or label guy. It's me, Opus, the dopest, responding to all you guys. So hit me up. And that's good, man. Pawns, thanks for having me, guys.
We will have all those,
thank you
those websites linked through today's show notes in the podcast version of this interview on TalkingMetal.com. We will also have links that will open up your iTunes and bring you directly to Dead by Wednesday on iTunes, where you can download the tracks.
With a picture of that big naked black guy out front of the nut house.
I wish I had that. It was something else. Anyways, this is Pawns by Dead by Wednesday on Talking Metal.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Opus. On a pawn! I'm just a follower of my tradition. Wait, see me on. Your foolish vision of the world I'm really strong. Lift your skin, they rip like weapons to the sky. And throw my dinner over to your life. Do not believe in the old time. Reformation disguise. Wait, run up their pawns. Wait, run up their pawns. Run up their bonds. Wait, run up their bonds. The strangle of citizenry, mangle the mind in the pursuit of a modernization. Dream of a
passion to fight. Don't rely on a system that abuses us. They need us more than we need them. 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 The strength, raise your chin. Look at everything that's happening. This world deteriorating. Look at everything that's happening. Analyze, begin to think. Look at everything that's happening. Don't just think, what next step then? Look at everything that's happening. Strike.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.